go, 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 Ernie. It's your bath time. We gon' party cause it's your bath time. We gon' sip Bacardi cause it's your bath time. Make sure you take your rubber duck cause it's your bath time.
You can find me in the tub with my Mr. Bob. Listen to this pretty sound. It comes from my rubber duck. I'm into sitting down. I ain't into standing up. So kindly give me a hug if you're...
Hey everybody! Whoa! Some loud stuff there, Corey. Welcome back to the Corey and Joel Radio Show.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Number 20. This is Joel.
This is Milestone. Corey.
It's Corey. We have a special guest. What's up, special guest?
A lot of things.
All right, we'll talk to him in a little bit. Our buddy Jim McClain is here. We'll talk to Jimmy as we get going. The White Stripes from the new record.
Get behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
Or at least move around so I can get by you.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Trying to get this, get the levels balanced here. Wow. What an intro.
Yeah.
Bert and Ernie singing in the bathtub.
What is that all about?
I don't even know who made that. That was very, more, you know, that was probably from some morning zoo.
But, you know, it, well, it's probably appropriate, you know, 30 years, you know, try to update it. Maybe have, right. You know, Elmo goes to rehab. Don't go into that building with the plywood windows under, Mr. Snuffleupagus.
Are you telling me the concept of two single puppets in V-neck sweaters living in the East Village in New York needs to be updated?
Well, I mean, not that there's
isn't that
anything
kind of universal.
Wrong.
That's very modern. That's a contemporary
exactly,
story.
That's what I think.
Wouldn't it sort of turn into Torch Song Trilogy though? At one point, wouldn't Bert be ravaged by AIDS or something like that? Wouldn't that happen?
You know, a lot of people have thrown out, including me in my comedy act, this theory of them being
that
gay.
That Bert and Ernie are gay. Yeah.
But there's one thing I'm ruling out that they're gay. I mean, now Bert does like pigeons and he likes to collect bottle caps.
They're both in the tub, like this song.
If they're in the tub soaping each other up, well then yeah.
Well yeah,
but
you know.
One thing, Bert has a unibrow. Bert, you know what? Not many gays have that.
A gay would tweeze that.
Exactly.
A gay would tweeze. Do you agree with that? Wax.
Yeah. Sure, you know. I was just thinking that, you know, hearing that Sesame Street hip hop, you know, getting in the tub, it almost just seems like Michael Jackson just have that thing looped. And he's like, I beat the rap.
That's what he used to
seduce
his voice.
That is live from the Neverland archives.
All right, folks. Welcome to Show 20. Hey. We're off to a rocking start.
That's a memento. Show 20.
This is 20. I know. We've
huge,
made 20.
Huge Woo! Celebration.
Thank you very much. And we're going to have our guest. Let me introduce you properly to everybody. It's Jim McClain, great comedian. Motown legend.
Wow.
A round of applause for you, Jim.
There we go.
Motown
Jim
legend.
Jim came in, a Motor City legend, has came up with all the greats.
Okay, legend. Let's but definitely a veteran.
Shadow yeah. of a legend.
Yeah, well.
But Jim, you've been around a long time and done a lot of comedy over the years. And,
yeah, you've worked with some of the greats that people would know.
Household names.
Household names.
Household names like Keith Ruff.
Yes. Yes, if you're watching Cops going, wait a minute, did that guy hold up that suit? No, come on.
Last Comic Standing winner, John Heffron.
John Heffron, you know?
John Heffron. God, I mean, started out with Heffron.
He was Benici, wasn't he, at one point? Wasn't he?
Didn't they actually cancel the show right before Heffron won?
Did they?
Yeah, like they had to blow it off on Comedy Central. Like they pulled. Do you remember that? Or no, it was after Heffron won. They did it. They did after Heffron won. They immediately did.
Oh, the battle of the first.
That was season three season. That Alonzo Bowden won.
Yeah,
that they did that too. Yeah, Alonzo Bowden won season three. That was on Comedy Central because they didn't finish.
Yeah, they were like
yeah, Last Comic Standing. For those of you who don't know,
show the last
inside
two
lingo, where John Heffron, a Detroit product, not unlike ourselves, Corey.
And
me and Jim here, Jim McClain.
Right.
John Heffron was on there. And John
and
was
the AMC Pacer, another Detroit product.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you know, Heff, you know, the guy paid his dues. He earned his ups. He played a lot of out of the way up north gigs like we've all done.
I understand
you know?
That. But on this show, we dump on people, Jim.
Hey,
I mean, that's good that you want to kiss his ass.
Well,
but,
no,
you know.
I don't want to kiss his ass. I wish we had his phone number so we could call him up and dump on him right there going, well, hey, Heff, I think you still owe me $50 for some tuition I lent you when you're going to Eastern.
That's true.
Swear to God, I lent him $500 like 1990 or something like that. He's like, man, I'm like $750 short on tuition. I'm like, well, here, man, here's $500. Pay me back whenever you can. Right. He's writing me back, and he's giving me checks with Looney Tune, Bugs Bunny, you know, for like $22, half of what he made.
That?
He's giving me like half money sets. You know? I'm like, buddy, just give me 100 at a time. He's like, nah,
well,
I can't.
I'll tell you what. He will never be on this show as long as he owes you money. I'm just going to make that
all right.
John is banned. John Efron will not be appearing on the Corey
Joel
Radio
show. He's been angling to get in here, you know. So yeah. I think, you know, that there's another roadblock to throw
up
for
him. Efron.
Hey, you know, it's not that I'm dumping on John Efron. I give credit to anybody who can make it that far on remember when you were a kid?
So there you lame go. Stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he did remember when you were a kid when he was a kid.
Yeah, I know. He was 12 doing that act.
Yeah. It was last week. Oh. So anyway, show 20. This is a milestone, though. Jim mentioned it.
Yeah.
Who would have thought we would do 20 big 70-minute-plus yuck fests?
I did.
You
I
thought we would.
It all along.
And it's always an hour and a half crammed into 70,
it
too.
It is. It really is. It's 10 pounds of crap stuck into a five-pound bag.
Exactly. Thank you.
I got that wrong, but you get the point.
That's one of my favorite expressions, yes.
That's what this show is. But this is good because we have Jim here. We support the comedy scene here in the Motor City. And
you know, you guys, the new crop of comedians, and I mean new crop, I'm saying probably from the late 90s, like probably 96 on. Nice core of guys coming up.
You know? And that includes me.
You and Corey and Bill Bouchard, Sal DiMeglio. Let me see.
Sal in here eventually.
Yeah, we'll get Sal in here.
Sal's a funny cat. I'm trying to think of
P.J. Butland, who's done our show as well. A lot of guys coming up. J. Chris Newberg. A lot of big stars here.
Who's on the Laugh-A-Palooza?
Yeah, I'm doing it. Let me just explain to everybody at home listening. There's a big show going to be going on. I'll be talking about it as it comes up later. We'll probably have some of the guys on at the Meadowbrook Music Festival Big Outdoor Amphitheater in Detroit with a lot of the local talent, some of the best names in Detroit, which I will be hosting.
I won't be there.
And Jim won't be there. But that would have been a gig you would have got in 1987 or something.
1987?
So you're not in
no,
it.
I wasn't even doing comedy in 87. Come on, man. I'm an old guy.
94.
But...
94. All right, 94.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Jim would have been there. But yeah, so we're doing that. It's a big outdoor
Jim,
thing,
are you breaking into
festival.
The cooler already there?
I'm
breaking into the bag of gifts that I brought
Jim
here.
Jim is a comedy veteran, which means he drinks pretty much all the time.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, hey, listen, you know, I mean, we really don't have a huge kept hours here, do we?
No,
I mean,
we don't.
It's like, what, 2 hours a night?
Yeah, 2 hours a night.
And I'm still angling because I come from such a, you know, blue-collar union background. And I'm even when it's only 2 hours, I'm still angling for that paid break, you know, like lunch break. Like I do, like, you know, I do an hour show, 25 minutes into my show, I take a lunch break.
I got you.
What are you, like Norma Ray? No more dick jokes until we get a coffee table back in this green room.
Well, I was so fed up with Ridley's green room, I ended up just pimping it out.
Jim, in addition to doing comedy, is a carpenter, would you describe yourself as?
Carpenter, cabinet maker.
Cabinet maker. So Jim did pimp out the green room at the comedy.
I kind of do what Ty Pennington does, but I don't have a big bullhorn. God bless, is that guy annoying.
That is the one way you're Christ-like, Jim.
You're
a carpenter.
That's where the similarities end because I'd be one of the apostles with Tourette's syndrome. Kick his ass, Jesus! You know, I'd be in the background, you know.
So, Jim, do you think the studio needs some work? Could you see some do you see some work that needs? It's beautiful, but
I see the studio expanding a little bit.
Do you really? Okay.
You know, maybe a Murphy bed to where you could have more room
well,
in the studio. Because the studio, folks, is actually
it's a luxurious studio.
It's a gorgeous studio.
The bed is
in here when we have female.
Yeah, right. This is for the ladies that come in.
Yes.
That's all this is.
Yeah. You know what? And I'm all about, you know, having the different ladies in here, the fine wait staff
some girls
from Joey's. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. We have the Joey's waitresses.
He's breaking kayfabe.
Yeah, we have to, you know, we're a professional outfit here, Jim.
Sorry, yeah.
We're not some show in some guy's bedroom, please.
Right.
Don't put us down like that.
No.
You're in the best part of Ferndale.
Yeah, we are in a beautiful gay part of Ferndale that I've mentioned that on the show. We've talked about it. I went to the Gay Pride Fest a couple weeks ago. Which is good. I brought my girlfriend, though, so I was, you know, completely undercover. Spying on him, actually. I mean, I came back and I reported to the listening audience of the Corey and Joel radio show all about the homosexuals and their deviant behavior on 9 Mile.
I had a little deviant behavior when I was opening up for this lesbian in Ann Arbor.
A lesbian female comedian? Whoa.
Time out. A lesbian in Ann Arbor, Michigan?
Can you believe it? Can you believe it? It's kind of like the California condor. You spotted a what? And I'm like, yes, I did. Yeah. But this female comedian, Michelle Ballin, she's got, you know, a built-in audience. She probably, and it was like a Thursday night. She was doing two shows.
Yeah.
You know, who does two shows on a Thursday night?
Well, lesbians, apparently.
Lesbians, yes, absolutely. Well, so the Wednesday night, the night before, I opened up for Smokey Robinson. So I knew I had this gig with this Michelle Ballin earlier on. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do the exact same act because, you know, it's Pine Knob. You have to be kind of clean. I go up on stage. Seriously, the first, like, 30 seconds, I hear, guy. And then you just heard ceiling fan for, like, 20 minutes.
Really?
Just heard, like, the air conditioning going. So they're like, I'm like, hey, what do you guys want me to do? They're like, say something funny. And at that point, I got so pissed off. Ah, blow me. You can't make me say anything funny. And then, you know,
they're not going to blow you either.
No, either way. That was just wrong words right there. And then I had like a couple of construction chicks that really wanted to pick a fight with me after the show.
Wait a minute. Did construction worker lesbians?
Construction worker lesbians.
Okay.
You heard about the house that was built by lesbians, right?
No.
No studs, all tongue and groove.
Oh.
We got to edit that one
now,
out.
Don't
get me wrong here. There's a disproportionate number of female comedians that happen to be lesbians.
Yeah, there's very few straight female comics.
Lisa Goich.
She's kind of out of the bit. She married.
I know,
somebody.
You could probably.
She married the keyboard player from Guns N' Roses.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm saying that you could probably name all straight women comedians off the top. You know what I mean? Like,
right. I mean, it was kind of funny because Ellen DeGeneres had a stalker when she was doing the club circuit like 10, 15 years ago in Detroit. And, you know, then when all brouhaha, is Ellen going to come out? Like in People magazine and stuff. I was like, who doesn't know that she's gay? And the bottom line is, who cares if you're gay? Are you funny? You know what I mean?
Are you telling me that all those pantsuits aren't sexy? I mean, is that...
I often say if I was going to get sort of like dressed up, like upscale casual, I'd check out to see what Ellen's wearing. Not that I'm going to be a cross-dresser, but you can
go into the pages of GQ. You would instead look at Ellen DeGeneres dancing around on her gay talk show. Is that what you're saying?
Well, usually I just go into Meijer's 50 Acres and buy, okay, that sweater and those khakis. That's going, okay.
And why is it that highly successful talk show hosts happen to be lesbians too?
You mean like Merv Griffin? He's a lesbian.
Totally.
But the theory,
Mike Douglas was all about licking clam.
But the theory
with Mason Reese, of course,
that I have in comedy is that if you're a straight girl and you're trying to go on the road and do comedy, that the male comics are such dogs that you're either going to have to marry one of them or you're going to have to quit because the guys are just going to hit on you so bad that you're either going to make it miserable for you.
Yeah.
You know, and like there's only so many guys you can blow that aren't going to do you a favor that they promised to do.
Right.
Am I right about that?
Right. I'm
going
to get you into the funny bone in Columbus
if you take
care of business.
Well, if you get your funny bone into her, she'll get into the funny
bone.
But
it's always like a young female comic coming up, and then you're suddenly this guy, and I don't want to name names, but a guy will go like, oh, I'm going to take you on the road with me to open for me. And then they're opening for him at the club, and then they're opening for him back at the Holiday Inn after the show.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And then she's driving him from one gig to another because
she's
got...
What name would that be? All I know is that there used to be a third baseman for the Cincinnati Reds.
All right, let's not. No.
With a similar
Chris?
Last name.
No, yeah, that's not. We're not going to go there. We're not going to talk about
you
that.
You mean about his little after show escapade?
Yeah, there's one.
You mean about diving under a table? Unbelievable. Do you remember that one? He said that he saw this girl. He said, man, you are so fine. You're so fine. And he goes, I got to do you. And she goes, you know what? Right here,
right now.
And it was in a comedy club like after a second show. And he just dove under the table.
And we know a guy who basically went down on a chick inside the comedy club after the show. And,
he's banned for life.
He's banned for life.
I heard that story somewhere in the mud flats of Indiana.
We'll have him on. He can out himself right here on the show.
You know, it's true, though.
We'll have a standing invitation for that guy.
You know, it is true, though. There is a disproportionate number of lesbians in comedy. Because think of this talent. Here's a great legendary female comedian.
Hey, Jesse, look what I'm doing. Oh, I'm not going to Cookie Mountain.
Wow, beautiful.
Yeah,
the lovely Rosie O'Donnell.
Wow,
that was from. She played the retard. Did you ever see that movie? Riding the bus with my sister. Play a little more. We got a couple. Listen to this.
Okay,
Do you have chicken fingers?
Yes, we have chicken fingers.
Yes, one order, please, for the gentleman.
And you know what?
Here's my favorite. Here's my absolute favorite.
I like hot dogs. I like spaghetti and meatballs in a can. I like everything with marshmallows.
That just reminds me of like her as a kid sitting on Santa Claus's lap. What do you want for Christmas, Rosie?
You know what? Sounds like she's doing Edith Ann, the old character from Lily Tomlin.
Right.
Chair. Another famous dyke. So, I mean, you know.
Detroit.
But that's true, yeah. She's from Detroit, too.
God, this is the worst business to meet women in.
You know, I keep telling people, you know, it's like, they're like, man, you must get a lot of tail. I mean, you know what? It's like, I don't get tens, okay? I mean, I do like 5 twos. That adds up to 10, okay? And you got to throw the hook out there. Usually it's a drunk waitress.
We've talked about
single,
the comedy club
single
waitresses.
Single mom waitresses.
We did a whole rant about comedy club waitresses. And is that not absolutely true?
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, if you want to get into a profession where you're not going to get chicks, get into comedy. I mean, priests go, yeah, I take a vow of celibacy. But, man, Mrs. Swanson was hot. You know,
it's like the waiting line at the desperation sweepstakes. It's like a whole bunch of people lined up, you know, desperate need of attention.
When they do show up on a sold out show, Friday or Saturday, 90% of the crowd is either bachelorette party is like the 10% of the crowd,
and they're not
and the other 90%. Is a date? It's a date.
Yeah, it's guys and girls.
Guys
going
always
out
give you the nod at the end of the night. If you do really well, they give you the nod. They're like, "I'm getting laid because of you. Thanks, man. You're getting an assist.
We make your girlfriend laugh, so she'll give it up for you because you're not funny.
Right? We're your aphrodisiac, so you have something to talk about at the end of the night.
Yeah. And bachelorette parties, they don't want to bang.
Oh God, no!
They just got the big. Dick
they're saving that for the. They're saving that for the like you know the best man and his.
Sure.
The other ushers at the wedding. You know, they're saving that for that.
The whole table's like dick, 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 dick. And the girls get married, no more dick at the bachelorette party. I don't know what happens.
Right.
Horrible.
Every comedy gig in the history of the world, though, bachelorette party.
Yeah, there's always a bachelorette party right at the front, as close to the front of the room. We're playing Chaplin's. I actually wasn't there. I was there a couple weeks ago, and they had a bachelorette party at the front table. Just the most annoying. Oh.
You know.
Can I say the C word on the show, Corey?
Let's check it out with the
let's go to the
sensors.
Judges.
I hope this makes it out.
Standards and practices says on this occasion we're going to let it slide.
I think that you enjoy country and western music.
Country and western music. Exactly. Okay, let's just talk.
She puts the C in country.
Exactly.
Bobby Slayton says they put the C in woman.
Oh.
There you go.
Woo.
I'm actually crediting that joke I just stole. Cuz that's the way we do it on this show.
Bobby Slayton.
Oh, man.
A legend to no one.
I love Bobby. Bobby's
no, I know.
Great.
He's great, but...
Bobby's great.
No one knows who he is.
I love Bobby. He was he was in the Rat Pack movie. He was Joey Bishop.
He was in...
exactly.
He was Joey Bishop in the Rat Pack movie.
So no one knows who that is.
Hold on.
No one cared about Joey Bishop.
Let's give some... well, he was Joey Bishop, but let's give some Detroit props. He was the casino manager in Get Shorty.
Oh, that's right.
Where he tells Chili Palma, it's like, I need to go and rough up this movie producer.
Oh, that was Slayton, too?
Yeah.
Okay, I never saw that.
You probably thought it was Schimmel, but
that
was Slayton.
No, it was Slayton. I know Schimmel. I know Schimmel and Slayton.
Wow.
I know both of those guys.
This
is way inside, folks.
Yeah, you guys aren't into comedy.
We're going deep.
This is kind of like Dennis Miller. We're just throwing out the knuckleballs.
But one of the reasons we wanted to have you on is because we wanted to talk about a local comedy legend, a guy that me and Corey both know, and I don't know if he's that much of a national figure. But one of the classics from the golden age.
Bill Hildebrandt?
From the golden age of television.
Oh, Leo DeFour. What are
from the golden age of television. Oh. Our pal, I think you have some ready. You have some. It's way loud. Though. There you go. If you know this theme that I'm screaming
you're
over.
You're 70.
If you know this theme, you know this to be the one and only Soupy Sales Show.
Oh, Soupy.
And Jim knows Soupy. Now play a little bit of Soupy talking, so we have some Soupy. People don't know who Soupy was, the guy who was always getting hit in the face with a pie.
He had white fang.
He had white fang and black tooth.
Black
were
tooth.
The characters.
Is this the
and
right
here's
one?
A little bit.
Well, what do you think,
here we go.
Gang?
Here's Soupy.
Well, listen, do you have any other songs?
This is stupid.
What kind of songs?
You got one of those songs?
Cha-cha's and rock and roll?
No.
And even operatic arias? Well, what are these
kids,
songs
kids, this
about?
Is the only thing on TV at the time.
About each other?
There is
well,
only
wait a minute. Maybe I can learn
two,
the songs
four,
you've
seven.
Yeah.
I don't even think Channel 9
back.
Was on yet.
Quick, we have much
the
time.
Soupy
Let's
Show against a test pattern. That was the only thing on again.
Yes, you saw the Indian Chief with some numbers, bullseye.
Oh, come on.
It just goes
but
on
Soupy,
and on.
Yeah, it goes on and on. But Soupy was a big local legend. He even, I think he appeared as recently as, what, 2-3 years ago in a club?
Yeah, he was at, you know,
Ann Arbor.
He was in Ann Arbor, and it was almost like, you know, because like about 12 or 15 years ago, he started jumping back into clubs, and he was making serious coin. He was making between like, I don't know, 10, 12 grand a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, you do 12 grand
sounds about
time,
right, yeah.
You do 12 grand times like 30 weeks.
Yeah. It's
some
a nice living
money.
For
right.
Soupy, yeah.
So now he's just sort of doing like a This Is Your Life. It's like,
yeah,
do you remember when they hit you in the face with a pie soup? He's like, I remember one time I was in the bathroom and two guys came up and hit me with pies. That's why I only pee in a champagne
yeah,
bucket.
Yeah, tell that story. We were talking
just a little background for our
Louise.
Listeners who are not
yeah.
old farts. Because we do have people that are like under 70 that listen to this show.
Yeah.
And Soupy was big in like the 50s and early 60s.
Right.
Black and white television.
He started out in Detroit. He had lunchtime with Soupy.
First kids show, kind
of. Yeah, it was sort of like a cat. People might know Captain Kangaroo a little bit more. It was basically like that show. But yeah. Soupy was sort of an edgier, like, kid show.
He'd wear
little
like
bit.
A crew neck sweater and a big, like, bow tie.
Yeah. Top hat.
And he very famously one time, because he didn't think anybody was watching but kids,
day after New Year's.
Yeah, he told the kids that their parents were sleeping with a hangover or whatever, and he told them to go into their wallets and get out the green paper,
the paper
with
the green
presidents on it.
And send it to him. And this is like in 55 or 56 or something. He got like $7,000 or $8,000.
Yeah. Did he really?
Yeah, and he had to send it all back.
Kids just sent in the money.
That's pretty brats. I mean, that is a brilliant move,
I think
though.
They put a Chiron
to
the address up.
I think new federal communication laws were written right
and then,
shortly after
and
that.
And then he went national, and it was show was kind of hip for a little while.
Yeah, it was like ABC owned the show because it was on the ABC affiliate.
Right, XYZ.
And then it went to all the ABC stations
right.
all over the country.
And
like,
then it got him on Match Game.
And like yeah. Sinatra and Joey Bishop.
Yeah, you might have
seen like
Soupy on like Match Game and on...
To Tell the Truth.
To Tell the Truth, What's My Line,
he had
that
this
kind of
big,
stuff.
Here's his big hit.
Yeah, he had a big pop song too. This is what, early 60s for this
65,
one?
65, 66, oh, yeah. Something like that.
Hey, do the mouse, yeah.
Yeah, do the mouse.
It's an annoying dance where you make like a little
mouse. How do you do
face.
The mouse for us, Corey? I gotta get a picture of that. Where's my digital ad on my camera?
Yeah. You do the mouse.
Corey's doing the
do
mouse.
Do the mouse.
Yeah, and then you dance and hop up and down and do the mouse.
You know, if you can back that up to the beginning of that tune, it almost sounds like Inagata DeVita.
Let me start that over.
No, you're right. It says the same. Inagata DeVita.
Wow.
Do the mouse.
So you're saying that it's possible that Iron Butterfly was influenced by the mouse?
Influenced by Soupy.
So you're telling me only about 70 or 80 grams of marijuana later, you can come up with an Inagata DeVita from the mouse.
That's right. Oh, hey, he probably had more than 70 or 80 grams.
So the story was, where were you working with Soupy when this happened?
I was working with Soupy in Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase.
Okay.
And as you guys know, the green room is exceptionally small.
It's a broom closet.
But they treat you great there. They put out the fruit tray. They have, like, the bottle of water, this and that, which, like, 99% of the clubs do not do anything like that. They're just like, here's a pop, stand at the back, come out when we call you.
Ridley has a refrigerator only because you built it.
Yeah.
Right, only because I built it. But, yeah, and the television set and the blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But I'm in the green room, and I heard that Soupy had a rider in his contract that said that he needed a champagne bucket to relieve himself in. And I never, you always think that's urban legend, this and that, you know. So I'm sitting there, and I'm in between a show, and, you know, a lot of people are kibitzing with Soupy and this and that. All of a sudden, you know, I'm just in the back reading a book. He comes walking in, and unbeknownst to me, the champagne bucket's, like, right by my face. Not even excuse me. He whips out White Fang. He just starts going to town.
He starts peeing right in front of you into the champagne.
Right next to me. I'm like, buddy, I'm reading Cuba Libre by Elmore Leonard. I got Soupy taking a leak next to
White
me.
White Fang was the puppet that you only saw the hand of. Yeah, it was like a big bear paw or something.
Right. And
he would talk like.
I think the other embarrassing thing about Soupy is
but he peed in the bucket and then
peed right in the champagne bucket, zipped up like you
was
know.
There
it's
ice
all,
in the
it's
bucket?
All no ice, you know. But he just
and what happened to the bucket?
Half full. Yeah, it's
there wasn't even ice in the champagne.
Not even ice in the champagne bucket.
Holy crap!
Yeah. So he just left the champagne bucket and you don't know what happened to it.
No, it was
like somebody.
End of the night, I just looked and I'm like, I'm so glad this is Saturday, you know. And I worked with him like a year later.
Yeah.
And I'm not like a stretch limo guy. I like driving like, you know, pickup trucks
sure.
and whatever. That's any kind like... of Ford power product, you know. But we're taking a stretch limo and it's female limo driver, right?
Okay.
So we get up to the club about an hour into the, you know, before the show goes on. The booking agent's like, hey, I want to give you another date. I'm like, sure. So I'm like, hey, my date book is in the limo.
Okay.
So I open up the limo, and I just hear this grunting and groaning, and I look over, and there's Soupy getting a Hummer by the limo driver. Here's a 65-year-old guy. I mean, what do you say to a guy? Sorry, Uncle Soupy's like, you know.
I've met Soupy. I love that he talks like he talks like an old jazz bow.
Like, oh, yeah, like he's like, Miles Davis, like he lost his voice.
Yeah, he's been smoking unfiltered Pall Mall.
Like, so what is this? I mean, is this limo driver, like, hot? Is she, like, a good-looking broad or what? I mean...
Yeah, she was looking nice, and I think it was her birthday or something. And the odd thing was, there were some guys that, I'll carry photos around of some people that I've worked with. And I ended up getting my photo taken with Soupy and the limo driver and, like, the managers of the club or the club owners, right? And this is, like, yeah, 7 or 8 years later. These guys are flipping through my pictures going, wow, is that Drew Carey and Tim Allen, blah, blah, blah? And they're like, Soupy says, they're like, we know that chick! Does she drive a limo? And I'm like, yeah. Oh. They're like, oh, yeah, she takes it all the way down.
Oh, really?
So this she must have some kind of limo driving lore, you know?
No, now, does he get to ride her? Is that part of his rider?
I think that's part of his rider. That's the only way some 65-year-old cat like that is going to be tapping some 28-year-old.
Well, that's, you know what, though?
65, you're being generous. The guy's 107.
But that, yeah.
Well, Soupy's in our death pool. How old is Soupy in our
death pool? How's that looking?
Death pool. Yeah, I have Soupy, right?
Joel has him. You get 21 points.
Okay, so it's 21 points. It means he's 79 this year.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Soupy's 79 this year. So this is how many years ago was this?
10.
Okay, so he was 69 at the time.
69, yeah. Wow. I was off by 4 years.
What an accurate number, though, 69.
So, hey, what are you guys looking at, Deathpool?
We did a whole show about the Deathpool.
We have a Deathpool.
I got the Pope and Max Schmeling. They both died. So I have, I don't know, I didn't update that after the Pope died, Corey, but.
You're still trailing.
Okay, talking to the mic, yeah, there you go.
Still trailing on the Deathpool.
I'm trailing, yeah, there's the Deathpool list.
I had the big pick of Johnny Carson.
So he got Johnny Carson to die, and I had the Pope. He was my first pick.
Casper Weinberger.
Oh, yeah.
Very good, Corey. I think that's...
come on, he's got to die, right?
Fidel Castro, how'd you get that one?
Well, at the time we did this, Castro had just taken this big
tumble. Yeah, he took that, remember when he fell?
Right.
And he, like, broke his hip or something. I was like, for sure Fidel's going to croak.
Do you think that guy, like, sits up at night and just watches, like, infomercials, like, for Craftmatic, going, you know, I'm 70. I need the Craftmatic.
Would they send it to Cuba? Probably not.
Yeah, probably you know, not. You'd have to send it to Canada first.
He gets that from Russia and
yeah, he gets all
and
kinds
stuff.
Of crap.
50 Cent? Is that a drive-by?
Well, yeah, but 50 Cent could die.
Jack Klugman, that's
alive,
a given.
See,
I almost thought Klugman was gone like 10 years
see,
ago.
See, it's the points is
what do you mean,
the
50
guy's
go,
age minus
when you're a baller like this.
What is this?
Go,
more Ernie and Bert.
Go, Ernie.
Yeah, but it's the points you get is the person's 100 minus the person's age. So you get more points. If 50 Cent gets killed, I get 71 points.
We sadly haven't had any deaths lately.
So Corey would need, like, Dick Clark, Jerry Lewis, Pat Summerall, and Gerald Ford all die to match my 50 Cent.
So
yeah,
what,
50 Cent died.
Yeah, so that's he's a good pick.
But
so
I have DMX.
He has DMX.
DMX, the counter,
that's his
sure.
Rapper,
that's my rap
know,
counter.
So, yeah.
See, sure. We started later on the list. We started trying to like pick against each other.
Right. Kind of, like, okay. So if you take James Brown,
right?
I'm taking Norman Mailer.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah. It's completely.
You
evil.
Know, like you could take like Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes, ritual suicide. You know, like,
yeah, you could take that.
I don't know. You know, maybe he shoots her in the face.
Do you think that's just like a prearranged thing because they both have movies coming out? Because it just looks so. I mean, have you guys ever been that flippy over a girlfriend where you're just jumping up on the couch just in the front of your friends, going, "Dude,
I have," but that's just because. Pussy is like a rare jewel to me. It's like, it's like a green-eyed Asian. It doesn't come along very often. I got to fight for it. I usually got to climb a mountain in the Himalayas and battle a Yeti to get some tail. Tom Cruise has been nailing world-class Tukey A1 grade slab from like the time he was 14.
But here's the thing.
He was married to Mimi Rogers like 10 years ago.
He was hitting above his average. You know, she was older than him. And then he got Nicole Kidman, about the same age. And then Penelope Cruz.
Yeah.
And then she, like, I don't know what happened there.
How
she
are you
going
to get excited about Katie Holmes at that point?
Well.
If I got Katie Holmes, I'd be bouncing a balloon off. I'd be riding a unicycle down the middle of, you know, Fifth Avenue in New York and Times Square. I'd be, you know.
Well.
I'd be like. Look at who I'm doing. And that's all that.
I don't get why people are like, why would you go with Tom Cruise? Any chick would go with Tom Cruise.
Are you kidding me? I would wipe my finger on a Kleenex and sell it if I was banging Katie. I'd be like, smell this.
But you know, people, for some reason, don't want to believe that he can get her. Is that it? Because, Frank Sinatra banged everybody. Elvis banged everybody.
Why couldn't Tom Cruise get... Tom Cruise is only 40-something.
That's why I don't get the whole thing where they say it's prearranged. Because, like, she would bang him.
You know what I think?
And unless he's a homo, he would bang her. And I'm not convinced he's a homo. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, there's always those rumors out there going...
Well, Corey said... what was the Tom Cruise homo thing? You said a guy you knew.
I have from an unnamed source. I once heard a story about Tom Cruise blowing like a lighting director on a
gaffer.
Yeah.
Which I don't know that. I mean, who knows if that's true? Jesus, you know.
I mean, this is just apocrypha that you hear.
Here's my whole thing with the Tom Cruise Katie Holmes thing. I think it violates the half plus four. Rule, doesn't it? You take your age, divide it in half, and add 4 years.
Well, he's what, 43?
He's 42, yeah.
It's 21 plus 4?
Plus 4, 25. I think she's 24. You know what I mean?
She's 28 or something, but whatever. Yeah, something like that, but it's in the ballpark.
Now, is her dad... I heard her dad was Johnny Wad Holmes. Is that true?
No.
She's from Toledo?
She's from Toledo.
They're from Toledo,
but
it's not Johnny.
I don't think it's Johnny Wad Holmes.
Okay.
Unfortunately, but...
Hey, you want to talk about some odd stuff you see? I was... in a strip bar,
her dad was on the show Holmes and Yo-Yo.
Holmes and Yo-Yo?
No, I'm sorry. No one knows what you're talking about.
Jim got that joke.
You and Jim got it. No, thank I you. Guarantee you no one else knows what
I
Holmes,
know.
I have no idea what Holmes and Yo-Yo is.
It was a horrible show about a guy and a robot cop.
Yes.
Okay, you know, that's enough. All right, go ahead.
John Shuck played Yo-Yo.
Oh, I was...
God, people are... Did you hear that?
You want to talk about
that's
inside.
People.
That's we just did 10 minutes on Soupy Sales.
I know, but this is...
Who's 109 years old.
I guarantee you no one is listening now after
about
this
Holmes
references.
And Yo-Yo?
Oh, who is Katie Holmes' dad? Where were we going with this?
He's some schmuck who lives in Toledo.
Yeah,
okay. He can't be anybody.
He was a doctor or something.
Toledo.
Wasn't he or a lawyer in Toledo?
Well, I don't know, but she's going to be a Scientologist now, so whatever.
We did a show about Scientology.
Yeah, we've talked about all this crap.
We've beaten this like a... like a mule.
Very good.
The Scientologist.
Beating this like James Brown beat one of his ex-wives.
Oh,
hey,
what about
doing comedy? What about the Hedgehog? What was that guy's name?
Ron Jeremy?
Jeremy, didn't he play at the Magic Bag and he only did like 10 minutes or something?
No, I saw him do stand-up. He did about 20 of stand-up, which was the worst you've ever heard.
Yeah.
Even worse than some of these guys on this old Chaplin's
flyer. Yeah, you have a Chaplin's flyer.
And this is a nice old picture of Louis Ramey. Wow. I've worked with Louis. Yeah.
And he's looking young there.
Louis is on the Nick at Night road crew, by the way, if you ever see
him.
Okay. He does the intros and outros on Nick at Night.
Really?
So no one will ever see him.
Exactly.
Go ahead. All right.
But no, Ron Jeremy comes out and he does this like, you know, how is my penis shaped like a tube of beef? It was like, they weren't even jokes. They were like, you know what I mean? Like, and then he came out, it was like this real shticky vaudeville kind of joke setup. Like somebody wrote him like Jackie Martling or something. And then he comes out and then he answered questions for like an hour. That was he did like maybe 15, 20 minutes of comedy and then was like, but, who wants to ask me about Sika?
Yeah, I know. Are those the Sika. Stories? I mean, let me tell you about Marilyn Chambers and a jacuzzi in 1989. Yeah.
That was what a lot of it was.
He had
some good stories though. He had one about how they were doing it on a boat one time and the chick got seasick.
Yeah.
And like he's banging her and like it, they cut, she's puking off the side of the boat. And then they go right back to the scene. Like wipe her mouth off. Okay, roll.
Yeah, well, you know
he's
what?
Still
you know what?
Wood. We gotta go.
You know what? Cum oozing from the mouth, no problem. But vomit, we draw the line on good pornography right there. You cannot show vomit on coming out of her mouth.
Now you
camera.
Guys are making you're making him funny now. You realize you're making Ron Jeremy's live stand up experience.
People would be like, people would really be very reverent. They're like, Mr. Jeremy, what is it like to blow a load on Tiffany Millions? What's that like? You know what I mean? It was like they literally, like, reverently.
Like James Lipton's up there going, you know, Ass Bangers 4. Brilliant.
And then.
Do you handle someone like Christy Canyon differently than you would a less endowed actress? You know.
Now, when they say count you down, do you mean from 30 or 20?
But he wanted to tell anecdotes about, you know, playing a security guard at Detroit Rock City, and like, you know, he was more impressed by being in movies.
Wow. Yeah,
didn't involve his dick.
Well, there was some kind of advertisement in a strip bar where it was like, and it was in like Detroit, the strip bar was in Detroit, but the advertisement was for a strip bar like south of Fort Wayne, like Muncie or something on a Sunday night, and it was Ron Jeremy.
You're going to drive to Muncie, Indiana?
Muncie to see comedy in a strip bar. It was Ron Jeremy, Gilbert Gottfried, and some other guy. And I'm thinking the only reason Gilbert's there is they probably paid him an exorbitant amount of money, and he's just, you know, there's nonstop tail.
Do they need an opener at this gig? Because yeah, it sounds like, give me the number for that. I want to take that one.
Well, I mean, have you guys ever done comedy in a strip club?
No, I've not done comedy in a strip club.
I've done a lot of... I've hung out with comedians in strip clubs.
Yeah, I haven't done...
I did the Wild Mustang.
Really? How
I
was
did
that?
Their golf outing, and I thought that I was going to play... The golf outing was awesome. You know, I mean, there was just more flesh on the greens than anything. But I thought I was going to play in the, you know, in the banquet room at the golf course. They're like, no, man, you got to hustle down to Southfield and Ford Road and...
You go to the club, and all the guys came from the
club. So they're like, okay, we need Tiffany, Portia, and Amber to the stage. Hold it. We have three comedians that are going to do comedy. How happy.
Yeah, that's what guys want to see.
Right. They want to see three guys cutting up.
And they got to hear your dick. You got to hear your jokes.
Now, there's always bachelorette parties at the comedy club. You'd never see a comedian at a bachelor party.
Right.
No.
Guys, well, you do, but
I see bachelor parties occasionally at the club.
You might see a comedian at a bachelor party, but
not.
He would just basically be involved in the antics,
right? You would just,
He would usually a comedian at a bachelor party is the comedian slash bodyguard because
the driver of the stripper,
right?
Is that one? Yeah.
Exactly,
like scuba.
Yeah, we did a whole. We went to Bill Bouchard's bachelor party. Did a whole show about that.
Hey, how was Bouchard's bachelor party?
It was pretty crazy. And
the stripper driver's name was Scuba.
Scuba.
That was the guy's name. Scuba.
If you listen to show 9 of the Corey and Joel radio show, I think it is.
Is it 9? Wow.
I gotta have to look through the log. But
well, don't quote us on that. It's in there somewhere.
Oh, before we're gonna take a break in a minute, I just want to let everyone know
that show's called Flapjacks and Blackjack.
Flapjacks and Blackjack was the name of the show. Just a little business about the site CoreyandJoelRadio.com. A lot of the past shows aren't showing up on the main page now because they're too old. Just click on the right where it says shows, and all of the shows are listed
there.
Why
would you want to hear
that? Well, they might want to hear. I think there's only the only show having up to 7 on the main page now.
Well, it's kind of good because
they look.
People have come up to me and they're like, oh, I listened to the first one. I'm like, don't.
Yeah,
please.
The first show was us testing out the microphone after going
just
to guitar
center.
Just
making sure the soundboard works.
Yeah, so we've done 20 shows, but we really hit our stride about show 8 or 9. So
we did.
Anyway.
I can tell because this is very grueling. You know, I mean, I'm like beer. Beer 3 right now. It says I can use a hug. Lager.
So send us email at CoreyandJoelRadio.com. Don't forget to vote for us on Podcast Alley. We'll tell you more about that at the end of the show. You can go to Podcast Alley by going to our site. So Corey, little music. We'll take a break. Be back with you.
Yeah,
more Jim McClain. You got some good stories for us. Tim Allen. Want to talk about Tim after
the
break?
Little Tim story.
We'll talk about Tim Allen after the break and stuff like that. So we'll be join us back here in about 4 minutes, if you will. Here's more White Stripes.
I'm thinking about my doorbell. When you gonna ring it? When you gonna ring it? Yeah, I'm thinking about my doorbell. When you gonna ring it? When you gonna ring it? Yeah, I'm thinking about my doorbell. When you gonna ring it? When you gonna ring it? Yeah, I've been thinking about my doorbell. Oh well, well with my chip with your kiss is not the man of my life, I know. And I've been going to Mr. and Mrs. I respect the art of the show.
More White Stripes for you there from Get Behind Me, Satan.
That's right.
Taking us through the break here. I got to turn off the air conditioner. Corey, please take over
sure.
if you want.
Jim's got a little pooch cooler.
That's right.
That's nice. Yeah,
our guest brought his own.
I try to cater.
His own
I try to cater all my things. Like, is that beer? Yes, it is. Is that Guinness? Yes, it is.
Yeah. So now we've moved on to Guinness.
Guinness in a bottle.
A couple
I
Guinnesses.
Still don't really believe in it, but
well, they say you can drink it right from the bottle.
Yeah.
Don't they have to have some kind of nitrogen filtration system in
there? There's some kind of little
ball of nitrogen in the bottom of it.
Gives off your 10th grade chemistry experiment.
But you know what the problem with drinking Guinness out of the bottle is? It doesn't come out. Is like when you put it up to your lips, it doesn't come out like as fast as it does. Comes out of like a pint glass.
Right,
it's
frothy.
Whenever I am drinking a Guinness.
Guinness is like Play-Doh. It's like super thick. Mm. It's like...
People complain when I eat Toffee Fae right into the mic, so I'm not going to do that today, but I'm going to drink Guinness. Mm-hmm. Right into the microphone here. Can you get Jim? Can you? There we go. Right in there.
By the way, Jim, that is
speaking of Toffee Fae. Yeah, that is our.
Is that the official? Yeah. Is that the official
candy?
Guests on the Corey and Joel Radio Show receive Toffee Fae, the candy that's too good for
it's
kids.
It's too good for kids. Remember those ads? Toffee
right,
Fae. It's too
go.
Good for kids.
By Stork.
Excellent.
You have to be a certain age. Well, don't bogart the Toffee Fae, homeboy.
Oh, you want one too?
Yeah, why not?
So yeah, I gotta send out my Guinness props to Paradigm. Did the Ode to Guinness?
Okay,
that which was like the Suicide Machines Paradigm, sort of Detroit music thing. The infamous Innisfree Pub, which is now closed.
I went to a wedding one time, and the drummer from the Suicide Machines was at my table. It was just like they're really nice guys. I know the guitarist. I used to work with his wife, but they're
Dan or.
They're called the Jay.
Yeah. Oh, Jay, the singer.
Yeah, the singer. Sorry, I know. Yeah, but like, yeah, it's like they're they're nice guys, but they're called the Suicide Machine.
Well,
there's like punk band, and it's like, yeah,
nice guys, yeah, they were actually Jack Kevorkian in the Suicide Machines, and they used to run around with my brother quite extensively. My brother Brian, passed away about 6 years ago from cancer. Of pancreatic cancer, but the Suicide Machines, Dan and Jay, would always come over to the house and this and that, and they would play on my amp in the basement. And I remember one year I was on the road somewhere like Kansas City or Minneapolis or someplace, and my dad was out west. My brother calls me up. He's like, "Hey, do you mind if we have a party in the basement? There's going to be a band there. They're only going to do like one set. Show'll be over by 10 o'clock. You know." My brother gets videotape of this. There's a circle, a big slam circle going on in the basement, But, ironically, these kids are all clean livers, all straight livers,
They're really nice guys.
Nice guys.
But they're called the Suicide Machines.
Suicide Machines for the parents,
Yeah. More obscure shit no one knows
about.
Anyway, let's take
let's have them do it. We'll have them in studio.
We'll have them in
here.
We'll get
them
the Corey Joel Radio Show. So I got this. You brought in some of your press clippings, Jim. I'm just perusing these.
A handful of press clippings.
This is Detroit Monthly Magazine from 1993 with Tim Allen on the cover, and you are featured.
Yeah,
in the article about comedy,
let me see that there.
The comedy scene. Well, there's a big picture of Jim in there.
Let me take a look at that.
And
there.
There's old pictures of now. Well, any Tim? Now, didn't you work with Tim? He was coming up before he left for Hollywood. Is that the deal?
Yeah, I mean, Tim, he was the first guy I ever seen in a comedy club.
Okay,
there was an article written about him, and he played out in Ann Arbor at the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase, and it was Tim Allen. And then Foxworthy was middling for him.
Okay.
This is 1985. And then Kirkland Teeple, who was the owner of the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase, RIP.
Mm-hmm. He's
there's
dead now,
there's
yeah.
the photo, Corey. Corey's looking up.
The caption says, he's a sitcom waiting to happen.
Yeah, and I got a suit on there. Like I had to appear in front of a judge
so,
or something.
How long are we waiting for this sitcom? It's still waiting to happen?
Well, it's like... as all Detroit comics do, you tune up, you go around the Midwest, you get your act honed up like Heffron, myself, Champanella, a bunch of people did. And then you migrate out to L.A. and you sleep on people's, couches and this and that. And I just got tired of the Tonight Show telling me that we need to see you like one more time. After like 4 years, yes or no.
Yeah, they've seen you enough at that point.
Right.
They're just blowing smoke.
So I'm at the point now where, my act... is it TV ready? You know, my Tubin joke's probably about 20 minutes long, between 18 and 22 minutes.
I've seen the Tubin joke. It's a good joke.
Yeah.
We don't have time for it on this show.
No, we don't have time for it on this show. And as a matter of fact,
you did a whole joke about the video game Tubin.
No, he did go in Tubin, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, and the cool thing is now is, I mean, you know, I played Pine Knob probably 15 times, Meadowbrook, Fox Theater probably 7 or 8 different times. And you'll have people come up to you. They don't know your name. They'll look right at you and go, dude, I don't know you, but do you do that tubing joke? Yes. Are you going to do it tonight? You know, and I mean, the first thought that crossed my mind is, no, get the hell out of here. But, I mean, it's like, you know, that's my smoke on the water, so to speak. Right. So I'm going to do my greatest hit.
So you're thinking that when there's a demand for a tubing sitcom, you're really the guy.
When there's a demand for tubing sitcom.
When there's a sitcom about being pulled from a boat on an inner tube.
It's classic.
You're the guy. And if anyone else is ripping you off, if that concept shows up.
Right. They're ripping me off.
If that shows up Thursday night after Joey on NBC, that really should have been your show.
Well, you know, actually, I do actually have 3 shows in development right now for Farmers Almanac Television.
Yeah, what's going on with that? You were shooting some stuff for them? Or?
Yeah, they're based out of Savannah. I was down there for about 6 months. And
how do you get that gig?
Well, you know, the guy that bought the rights to Farmers Almanac Television is from Farmington Hills, and he lived out in L.A., and then he relocated to Savannah, and Savannah's a great town. I mean, people like...
where is this, on OLN, right after the Babe Winkerman?
Yes, it's going to be... It's going to be right next to, what is the, RFD-TV. We'll probably be like right next to that, like channel 512.
So how far out of the city limits do you have to live to get Farmer's Almanac Television?
You might have to drive to Arkansas.
You have to eat a C-band satellite dish.
It's going
to
be crazy.
Corey, you have the theme song? Well, that's the intro, yeah, and then I think you have do you have the theme song for Farmer's Almanac Television?
Seriously, though, Farmer's Almanac Television, how does this work?
Yeah, this is the intro music.
You know what? you guys, you are not far off. Because the first show we shot, it's called American Road Show, okay?
Yeah.
And everybody gets us mixed up with, what type of your favorite antiques have you found?
Yeah,
and I'm like, no, it's not Antiques Roadshow, it's American Road Show. So basically, I sort of do like a Dave Attell, except I go to different festivals, outdoor
festivals.
But you're
like Dave Attell, but it's during the day, you're not drunk.
Right, and I ask him all these really weird, obscure questions, stupid questions. And from that is evolved into, there's going to be a show called Guys in a Garage, where it's just like, you know, you go around the country, you know, you get like 5 guys that like to cut up, go, you know, hang out with each other, go snowmobiling. What do they like to do when they get together? The other one's the garbage picking carpenter, where I go through people's neighborhoods on garbage night, and then I take different things and I put it all together, and it looks killer. It looks cool.
So this is like, there's going to be an actual channel, and these would be some of the shows that are on the channel?
Right. These are going to be, those are 2 shows that will be
on. And you would be the face of the channel? Is that the idea?
No, I'm not going to be the face of the channel. I'm more or less, 2 out of the 3 shows, I'm just going to be strictly producing, sort of like Ashton Kutcher on a lower,
Right, except for you're not going to steal Puff Daddy's Escalade.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
You're going to steal Billy Bob's pickup truck. Is that going to be more like what it's going to...
Yeah, I think it's going to have something to do with salt guns, you know, blowing stuff up, you know. But the last show is going to be called What You Doing, which is actually, it's like a Martha Stewart show for guys that's not gay. I mean, all guys are like going, you know.
What the hell is that shit?
What do you mean a Martha Stewart for guys?
A Martha Stewart show for guys that's not gay. Come on, buddy. I mean, you know, I have so many guys going, you know what? I have trouble scoring with chicks. You know what? If you got a girl at home and you can cook for her, you're down to the 2-yard line, dude. If I can just show you how to get down to the 2-yard line.
Wait, they have that. It's called Michigan Outdoors, and Fred Trost shows you how to make venison jerky. And they have recipes for wild boar and crap like that.
We're not going to kill wild boar. It's like, hey, look, your girlfriend's coming over. She wants you to make her something for dessert. All right, go buy some pineapple chunks, some zero fat whipped topping, and some cinnamon. And she's going to melt right there.
Jim,
boom.
I never pictured you as a metrosexual.
Yeah, Jim.
I'm not metrosexual. Let's get on. Let's get this point. Hey, Joel, about the last gig that you and I did with the beaded chick? Remember that with the.
Oh, the flight attendant?
The fundraiser. Oh,
we did a fundraiser for, what is it, a guy lost a kidney?
Yeah, it was for Steve Abdu.
Yeah, Steve Abdu's a guy who used to do comedy around Detroit, or maybe he still does. I don't know. I never really met him. But anyway, we're doing a benefit for he needs a kidney transplant, I guess.
Right. We're at the Beer Garden, Dearborn.
We're at a place called the Beer Garden. It's a little tiny bar, hole-in-the-wall neighborhood bar. And it's me and Jim and a couple other guys doing comedy. And this chick comes up to us, right, and wow.
And you thought that she was like her husband was standing right.
Yeah,
back.
She came up to us and she was a little. She had some miles on her. Let's just say that, right, Jim? I mean,
right.
she was attractive, but
the warranty was over.
Yeah, she'd been through the mill a little
it
bit.
It sounded a little like this.
No, it wasn't. No,
no
she wasn't
no,
heavy.
No,
no,
no. I would
no,
say,
no, no,
I would
no,
say
no.
if
she was a hot. She was a hot chick.
If you had to put numbers on her, she was a 7, but she was sinking fast.
Yeah, it was like she was. She was a 9 years ago, maybe.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? But she was hot, and she was like a flight attendant, and she was like, she was going to be doing blowjob shots or something. She
yes.
was trying to get everybody to do a blowjob with her. And some guy was hanging all over, and I assumed that was a husband. But it turns out it was just some dude from the
so
bar.
So I walked up to the guy. I go, hey, is that your wife? He goes, no, I just met her 5 minutes ago. I turned to Joel. I go, she's all yours, man. But you know what the difference is between gawking and stalking, don't you?
Yeah, I
about,
just
about 5 minutes.
I did get her to show her tits before she left.
Right, we had the beads that the Miller Lite girls gave us.
Thank
and,
you, guys.
And then as soon as Joel like christened her like the Mardi
yeah,
Gras,
we threw some Mardi Gras beads on her and the yeah.
She was almost like the Jobby Nooner chick.
Yeah, absolutely. It was wow.
And that's another reference we have
another
to explain.
Another reference is that people don't understand.
Hey, you know what?
We do have people who listen around the country.
Yeah, there are people.
All right, Jobby Nooner
listening.
Yes, yes,
there are. I'm
the
not
UK.
Kidding. There are people, I look at the stats and people
really?
From the UK.
Hey, listen, there's
if you're
people.
Listening in the UK, send us some mail at email at Corey and Joel.
Yeah,
Radio.
Email us from the UK.
You know what? Actually, it's not the UK. It's more up in the Scottish Highlands because, you know what's weird about people from Scotland?
Well,
those people will take vacations to Detroit to see not the Motown building, but like old, defunct, like obscure. R&B guys that didn't make it to the Motown roster.
Right.
They'll go down Kershaval and, oh my God, this was where they, and they sang a Hot Full of Gold, you know.
I do know that Craig Ferguson's a big fan of the show on the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. Anyway. I don't know where I came up with that.
I can't even eat my toffee, fam. Laughing too hard. I'm
sorry. Say if you're a Pacific Islander, please email us.
Email us from Taiwan, Japan,
right.
Reykjavik.
Reykjavik,
Iceland.
Sure.
Did we have anybody from you? I don't know. I can look at the stats. I'm sure some
we get email from around the country. Huh. So international listeners, please.
International listeners,
find something to do with your pathetic lives.
That's right.
And then after that, email us.
The Jobby Nooner folks is. It's kind of like Mardi Gras on Lake St. Clair. There's like 300 or 400 boats on a small island.
It's Redneck Christmas. It's
Redneck Christmas twice a year.
Yeah,
right before it's the 24th of June this year. And then,
it's like Lake Havasu, but not in Lake Havasu.
Right.
If people know Lake
more
Havasu,
a little more toxic.
Yeah, it's
in Algonac.
It's a
this,
little.
This is the theme song.
Yeah, the theme song is Queensryche.
Yeah.
Oh, this is...
Big hair girl.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Queensryche, can I tell this story? We were talking about... I told you this before the show about how Corey and I... and this was... You'll be hearing this worked into the show because we both bought these iRiver MP3 player jobs over the weekend. And I had to buy one on eBay because I had to get an older model because it had a couple more features, lining, recording. It's too dorky to get into for right now. But, So I bought one from eBay from this guy, and he said, do you want me to leave my music on it and my albums and everything because it was used? And I said, well, yeah, go ahead. Leave it on. And he had a section on there called – he had a lot of like AC/DC albums and Zeppelin, which I'm not really all that into, so I deleted those. And he had this comedy section. So I'm a comedian. I'll listen to these. And I found this thing called – what is the name of the
– I believe it's called Nigger.
Yeah, that is the title, folks. And I swear to God, this was on a guy's –
The guy had, first of all, the Bert and Ernie in the tub was on this.
Yeah, the Bert and Ernie in the tub was on this guy.
So that's how you acquired that tune.
Yeah, it was on this guy's iRiver. Here it is. It's a little MP3. It's like an iPod, but it plays MP3s. And then he, in his comedy thing, he had the Bert and Ernie song and some other stuff. And then he had a file which was called Corey. I'll let you.
I said it already.
It's Corey.
Yeah.
It was called Nigger Jokes. And this jokes, is. I swear to God, we're not playing this because we think this is funny. But I think it's weird that you're going to buy some from eBay and a guy says, "Do you want me to erase my stuff?" And I say no. And then he leaves this on it. This is unbelievable. This
my
is absolutely
theory.
True.
My theory is that, well, I'll play it. We'll
just
play it
and see if people know. Play this. This is unbelievable.
Good morning, boys and girls.
This is on the player he sent to me.
I'm here to share with you the definition of a nigger.
Didn't think to delete this, this guy.
A nigger is, one, a Negro. Two, a member of any dark-skinned people. Or three, a vulgar,
can I ask you a question? When you bought this from eBay, was this guy based out of Idaho?
No, he wasn't. He was from New York City.
But here, I think
he thinks this is from a rap album. But I,
how many niggers does it take to screw in a light bulb? Two. One to screw in the light bulb, the other to drive the pink Cadillac.
What's
the difference between a hard-working nigger and
Bigfoot? The guy leaves this on the iRiver.
Bigfoot's been spotted.
But there's no ID tag on this, Corey. There's no album artist.
A dead nigger in the road.
And you know what?
Dead dog's got skin marks leading up to it.
You just talked over the dead dog nigger joke, Jim. That's unbelievable.
You know, that's my favorite.
Here's my nigger. No cracker-ass white trash.
Let people hear these jokes.
How do you starve a nigger? Put his food stamps in his work boots.
Okay, you can pause it now.
Okay, I've had enough.
But here's the thing. After that, it goes into this big discussion about like Black Pride. I think it's from a hip hop album. It's like a Black Eyed Peas.
I don't know about that.
Like on you know, Wu-Tang Clan and all these. They put in these like big comedy skits.
Right.
I think it's entirely possible.
Because no hillbilly cracker's putting that backbeat
but
behind.
What is the, what is the, why is there a title nigger joke? I mean, I don't know. Look, I just find it dubious.
You want real nigger jokes. You listen to this. How come a coon has black stripes on his tail? Because the Klan tried to grab him. I don't, you know. Whatever.
Wait a minute. Let me write this down.
The
I got a gig tonight. How does this go again? The coon, the white tail, and... Where's
what
my
do you
Sharpie?
Get when you get 20,000 niggers on the bottom of the ocean? A good start. Yeehaw!
So, Jim, remember these jokes for Farmers Almanac
right.
Television.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's real cracker stuff.
I don't know. Yeah. It's odd. I buy the iron.
But you know what? It's like the uncomfortable jokes that you hear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like at the end of your show, and Joel and Corey, you guys try to pride yourselves on being, you know, write up your own material, this and that. And then you have some moron at the end of a show come up and go, "Hey, dude, I got one for you." You know, and you're like, "God, no, you don't."
Yeah.
I know you don't.
And you know what it is, too.
Right. And you're able to finish it before he can even get to
the third act. Yeah, it's an abortion joke or it's something.
Right.
How do you know Adam and Eve weren't black? You can't take a rib from a black man. You know what I'm saying? So you get like jokes like that.
Did you guys ever have to do the joke off in Lansing?
Oh, we do. Yeah, this is clubs. That what they do is that like at the end of the show, they'll have people from the audience get up and they'll win like free passes to the next show or a T-shirt or a coffee mug with the name of the club that you're going to throw in the garbage right away if they tell a joke. And usually they're so ripped on alcohol by the time they
and it takes
there.
Them like 5 minutes to tell like a 30-second joke,
yeah, a
right?
knock joke.
It's like. The average person telling a joke, and everybody thinks that they can come do comedy.
Yeah.
The guy's like, "Oh, I should get up there and do that, man." Listen to your average guy, your average like Jobby Noonan, your guy that works at like
right.
a board or something.
Right.
Listen to those schmucks try and tell a joke. It's like listen to a 5-year-old tell like how they had breakfast that morning. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, and rambles and.
And they just keep going.
So this guy goes into a bar, right, and he's got a duck, and the duck is like, you know, like a little
duck. And then this
duck.
Dude goes, it's not a mallard.
Yeah.
You know. Oh.
It's terrible.
Oh, man.
We've all done gigs like that. Like, you do a gig that's a couple gigs, you know. One time I get a gig that was attached to a trailer park.
Yeah.
The gig, you know, the bar was actually on the property of the trailer park. And like.
Well, I played at a place up north where it was at Uberoth. John Uberoth and I were driving up, and it was like in south of Rose City or north of Rose City, and the place said it had like one of those movable marquee signs that are on the wheels that you know you plug in with an extension cord, and it said spaghetti dinner and comedy show. Not even who's on the bill. You know, people driving from like five counties around for the spaghetti dinner and the comedy show's thrown in at no extra charge.
Yeah.
I did this joint one time. The club was attached to a Big Boy.
I know where you're talking about. Whitmore Lake, probably. Yeah.
It's attached to an Alliance Brothers Big Boy. And like the whole town had been across the street at the lake. They're having a ski stunt spectacular where like guy dressed like Batman was doing jumps off a water ramp. We're going to have to give the show about 10 minutes to start because everybody's coming over from the lake. And they were like, people were walking over with towels and stuff. Like, you know, like, they just watched some jackass dressed like Aquaman jump off a ski ramp. And now it's, let's hear some jokes.
I did a show in Muskegon where they had, like, the DJ was the MC. Then I was the feature. There was a headliner. And the guy's intro for me was like, you know, he's talking about, welcome to Comedy Night, and don't forget, coming up, we got a rock band after the show. They're going to play the best tunes from the 80s. Don't forget that Friday night, we got the Mechanical Bull in here, and now here's Joel Fregolatti. And I'm like, wait a minute, there's going to be a Mechanical Bull in, and then it's Comedy Night the next night. It's unbelievable.
Well, let's do 5 minutes of commercials, and then bring it up. Yeah. Let's just bring the crowd down to nothing.
Yeah, I know. Let's talk about the Mechanical Bull.
But folks, we played all those clips, not because...
Have you guys ever stayed at the condo in Lansing?
No.
You know what?
They don't do the condo anymore.
They don't even do the condo anymore?
No, they got a hotel. They don't put up Detroit Comics in the hotel.
And this is why I don't do Lansing, because...
You have to drive both ways.
You have to drive an hour to... If you live in Detroit, you have to drive an hour to Lansing every day.
Right.
Yeah, they make you drive every day.
And they still have the... still have the traffic sign, green, you're okay, yellow, wrap it up, red, get the hell off the stage. They don't have that little... three lights.
They don't
anymore.
Have that anymore.
No, they have a strike, a spare, and the wild turkey. Because there's a club that used to be a bowling alley.
It's a bowling alley.
And they still have, like, they cut up the lanes and
to make the tables.
Right. Yeah. That's how much of a cheapskate that guy was. He always tries to hitch into nuts.
Oh, he still is. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I don't want to.
Well, hey.
I'm going to be there in a couple months. I don't want to burn bridges, but.
Well, here's this bridge is going to be torn down. So no. I'm working with...
hey, thanks for listening to show 20 of the...
That's right, that's right. The big finale. We went out with a bang.
Go ahead, Jim.
No, it was Kevin James. He and I were working together.
Kevin James, the King of Queens? Okay, you're working with Kevin
Working with him in Lansing. I picked him up at the airport, drive out to the gig. He's like, well, he goes, you know, the condo can't be that bad. What? I go, wait till you see this place. We go into the condo. There's like a million moths on the inside. We go to order Domino's. He's like, you want to get a pizza? I'll get a pizza. You know, call Domino's. Call Domino's. You can look out the window, the front window, and see Domino's. You can see the parking lot with the sign.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, this is where we live. They're like, we don't deliver there. They're like, you can pick it up. They're like, well, why not? They're like, well, it's a crack neighborhood. It's like, I can see your place from where I'm talking. They're like, we don't deliver there.
Wow.
Yeah. Jeez. So, I mean, Kevin James is so freaked out by the whole experience. And Lansing, for the longest while, you go around the country, they're like, oh, yeah, that's top 10 of the worst condos. You know? And that's why comics turn into big pricks, because they've been through a million of those situations. And then once they do, it's
Give me a...
I know a guy who had a bad knee. Because he slipped on a bar of soap in the condo shower.
Yeah, that's true.
Or he slipped on the ice. I'm sorry.
It's on the ice
of
the steps.
There was no heat in the condo, so he slipped on the ice on the steps and hurt his knee.
No, I'm good. I got to.
No, folks, I want to clear something. We did this. We played the black jokes just because this was what was on.
That was what was on my iRig when I got it from eBay. That was all the only reason.
I personally am shocked and offended by hillbillies who tell this racist material. You hear it, you're right. You go to comedy clubs, guys will come up to you and tell you these jokes all the time. I hate it. I hate hillbillies and crackers that don't like black people because they don't like them for all the wrong reasons. They don't really know black people.
Right.
I don't like black people for a lot of reasons I'm aware of.
Because they talk in the movie theater.
Because they come in the movie 25 minutes late. They talk. They don't shut up.
No, they come to an hour and a half comedy show at about an hour 20 into it.
Right.
And go, can we still get a drink? Yeah, you can get a drink. And, you know, I mean, how much of the show's... There's like... See the guy? Yeah, he's got like two more jokes.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's
plenty of reasons to be pissed off at black people. Just hillbillies don't know them because they're far away from them.
I mean, I'm from Detroit. I grew up in a predominantly black neighborhood.
Right.
Growing up in Detroit, it would have been all black except our family lived there. Yeah.
Like, what's with the barbecue chips and grape soda? What's that about?
All right, now I'm not
I'm
going
kidding.
Down. We do
it's
this
a
every...
joke.
We did two shows where we disparaged the Jews.
Listen, you have to live around. you know, Schaefer and Six Mile to get that joke. All right. Nichols and Six Mile.
Can I ask you, we're running
buying
out of time.
Buying single menthol cigarettes from the guy?
Corey's, that Corey is auditioning.
I'm an ethnographer. I'm interested in learning about the culture. Anyway.
Hey, next Corey's, week we're going to be exploring the Kabul and Dearborn. Greater Dearborn.
Let me just ask you a few questions, Jim, because we were limited on time. We're about 5-6 minutes left in the show. You were just talking about famous dicks. Any dicks, famous guys that were dicks to you on the road back in the day?
There's a lot of famous dicks that just act like jerks.
Give us
jerks
some names.
Too.
Come on,
talk
give us
to some
names.
Famous dicks you've handled. You've run
famous
into.
Famous dicks.
I mean,
famous. Well, you know, I mean, it's going to ruin it for some people.
Nah,
but
who cares? What it's so shows.
All right,
about.
Dennis Miller. He's
Dennis Miller,
really?
Cock.
He's a dick. You know, I mean, any guy that doesn't like his own brother only stays at his wedding for like, you know, 10 minutes at his brother's own wedding. Yes, his brother Jimmy is Jim Carrey's manager.
Is he? Is a personal
and
manager.
Very. Yeah, Dennis has got a very competitive personality. You know,
right?
And so he was kind of a jerk.
Dennis Miller dick. Okay,
dick.
You've told us nothing so far.
That's
but
really not a shocking
Tim Allen. I worked with him.
Yeah, Tim.
Worked with Tim a lot.
He is a dick. Is his last
his
name?
His last name is Dick.
His
when I built I built the deck for Tim.
Yeah, you went. Go ahead. No,
that's
no,
his
no.
real name, Tim Dick.
Timothy Allen Dick. His middle name is Allen, and his real last name is Dick. When he gave me the check for this material, I built a deck for him like 15 years ago.
Yeah,
he gives me the material. It's like, you know, $2,500 down or something. I'm looking at the check. Looking at Tim, I'm like, Timothy Allen Dick? He goes, yeah, that's my name. Oh, really? Do you have any relatives that live in Livonia? He goes, no, why? I go, there's just some dicks that live down the street from me. And he got all offended. I'm, you know, now I'm all backpedaling. No, Jerry Dick. He lived on, so.
You're making up dicks. Well,
so, cool. I mean.
So he kind of stiffed you on money then for the deck. Is that the point?
I did some extras that I did not get paid for.
Pay Jim the money. You can send it to email at CoreyandJoelRadio.com.
That's right. Yeah. And we're going to update the studios, Tim.
Exactly.
Tim. I know Tim's a big fan. And,
yeah, Tim is a Tim listens to every show.
Well, I was a little.
You know he likes you, the Tim likes the Cash Show, Corey. That's how big a fan he is.
That's our popular show. You see who, you know, I see somebody you worked with who I've met who's was pretty cool. Drew Carey.
Drew Carey, good guy.
Drew Carey, got to tell you, what you see on television is pretty much how he acts off stage.
Yeah.
I mean, we. We're working at Chaplin's. He actually had Billy turn on two bowling alleys.
Oh,
yeah. Just a couple pitchers of beer.
Oh, okay.
I mean, so Drew, I mean, yeah, he's been over my house like early 90s, you know, ate dinner, blah, blah, blah. I mean, a lot of comics. Titus. I mean, there's a lot of guys that you guys have worked with probably 3, 4, 5 years from now, you're going to be going, hung out at my
famous
place.
Famous guys, yeah.
Smoked a dube with
we had Greg Giraldo pass out at the...
I don't know about him. I don't know where he's going.
He could be famous. Greg Giraldo from Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn. And
Right.
He came to Club Bart and did the show.
Really?
And then he went out to have pizza with us at Como's, and then he was so drunk he passed out at the table. He's on the wagon now. That's the big talk in New York is that Giraldo's on the wagon now, so... Greg, good luck.
It better be a big wagon.
Yes. Because,
wagon better have safety bars. A roll
Greg's
cage.
Greg's hilarious.
No, Greg was
we
nice.
We love Greg. Greg's funny.
Well, who can we tear on? Rich Voss? Can we tear on him?
Do you not like Rich Voss?
Well, I mean, you
last
know,
comic standing one
I mean,
was Rich Voss.
He definitely had some dental work done. Well,
Rich had some bad shoppers?
Well, I mean, you know, they're kind of going gray. All of a sudden you watch them on... You know, on the last comic standing, bleach white. I was like,
porcelain
going,
veneers.
He's got more porcelain than a china cabinet. I mean, come on.
So, well, who have you guys worked with recently?
Geez.
Me, no one. But Joel,
God, I don't think I've been. You know, I've worked with Dave Coulier in the past.
Yeah. Coulier was the first guy I ever followed.
Oh, okay.
He went up right before me.
Did he
jumped.
Really?
Jump protocol. Didn't call in on Thursday.
Oh, really? He did one of those
on Monday.
To get on stage, yeah.
He was doing a Tonight Show or something.
You know, really, honestly, a lot of comics are nice. We want to bag on comics, but a lot of the bigger name guys aren't that. They're cool. You know,
yeah, it's like
right.
Because they don't. I mean, obviously, they got to that point by being clever and political and astute enough not to just be a random asshole to be.
Sure. I mean, I'd have to say nice guys. Top of my list, I mean, Dennis Wolfberg, one of the best comics.
The late, may he rest in peace.
And he was
may
great.
He rest in peace.
Who else really cool? I mean, Drew Carey, of course, Foxworthy. Yeah. Titus was pretty cool. You know, I mean, Titus is very intense. He can be, He's very focused on.
I worked with Lewis Black before he kind of blew up before his HBO and everything.
Questionable whether Titus is a big star anymore.
Titus was a big star for a little bit.
Was a big star.
Now he's back to doing the clubs. But
Jim Carrey, I worked with him.
Yeah, how was Jim?
Comedy Castle. Well, this is when he was doing Fire Marshal Bill.
Oh, okay. So he's not in.
So I mean, he wasn't. Well, he was just starting to make it.
Yeah,
and I mean, he already had his first sitcom, which was. What was it?
The
Laugh Factory?
Yeah, the Duck Factory.
Where he was,
or something.
The
yeah.
Duck Factory, yeah. Where he was working as the artistic director or whatever.
When he got big, they broke that out on Comedy Central. You know, like, I love
whenever
somebody gets big, they break out, like, the first pilot they did. Or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And the Duck Factory was on NBC for about 6 episodes in, like, 86 or something.
No, it was, like, 83. Because he and I are same age, and he was saying that he thought he was, at 20 years old, that his career was done because that career...
Really?
That sitcom failed.
I'm going to be working with Charlie Murphy at the Gathering of the Jugglers.
It's terrible. He's terrible. Chappelle in that. It's like he was the straight man on the show.
Oh, in the
right, Duff, exactly.
He was a cartoonist at an animation studio.
And
Dave Chappelle's show that he did in the early '90s, like he did a sitcom.
Yeah, he did. That's out. It came out on DVD. They put it out.
Wow. Like, didn't him and Jim Brewer? I think they shot a pilot. They were going to be a spinoff,
oh, really?
Home Improvement or something like that. And
well, they made a movie called Half Baked.
Half Baked,
which is all time stoner classic. Yeah. And
worked with Jim Brewer down in the Cayman Islands in '95. No weed.
Really? No weed then.
No weed.
What are you people?
We're smoking it out of a beer can, just like being on a cruise ship. You want to talk about taking precautions just to get your game on? Rolling up the towel, putting it up against the door, going in the bathroom, rolling up another towel. Got a can of Osium. You're blowing the smoke through a toilet roll with a bunch of, snuggle wraps in there from... Oh, man.
Let's get the Lynx guys go to.
I've smoked pot in hotel rooms on the road like that, where you just got to really take every precaution.
Joel and I invented a tremendous device once.
Oh, yeah, we did. We built. We were in a hotel room with this guy.
We jerry-rigged a bong.
And we made a bong out of a water glass, a water bottle, a plastic water bottle. It was the top of a pepper shaker from room service. And, like, you know the thing that goes on top of the glass to keep it clean and the
right.
Holiday
Inn? Paper cozy.
Yeah, we stuck the top of this pepper shaker into the glass to make the top. And then you put your weed in the pepper shaker. And then you lit it upside down. You know the little holes in the pepper shaker?
Right.
Well, that was where the smoke came through when you inhaled. We had the stem of a Bic pen. Yeah, that was the screen. Oh. With the stem of a Bic pen in the water bottle. It was
amazing. It's very MacGyver-like.
It really is.
And I dubbed it Charlie because the hat, it made it look like a little hat.
It looked like a little Chinese hat.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so did you leave that behind for housekeeping?
Well, that's why I asked. You learn by asking, you dumbass.
See, there you go.
That's right. How do you get through life? You learn by asking.
You have to learn how to you know, you have to use what's around you when you need to smoke your weed. But
well, I mean, hey, listen, you know, I don't want to, you know, advocate, you know, just breaking the law.
Okay.
But I mean, I've had glaucoma since I was about junior in high school.
Yeah.
Still keeping it in check.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I got to smoke about an
ounce
a month to keep that in check.
And how do you feel about the recent Supreme Court decision about medical marijuana?
You know, absolute bull. Come on, buddy. You know, I mean, grandma's violating, you know. I mean, do you remember when you were a kid, you go, hey, your parents walk in, they go, are you on drugs? Now you got to ask your parents, hey, how many drugs are you on? Well, it's Wednesday. I just went to Canada.
On dope?
Exactly.
You know, many people would advocate that the Supreme Court position by Judge Antonin Scalia was simply in support of federalism, returning the right to the states. Anyway,
we got
to
wrap it up.
I just
turned
to NPR for a second there.
That's right.
Jim.
Yes,
thanks
Joel.
For doing the show, my friend.
Corey, thank you guys very much.
Jim drank. How many beers did you drink during the show?
I think
Jim drank about 5 beers.
I think I drank one of these. I drank 4 beers and
Jim drank 4 beers, and that's good. I hope you
so am I 0.08?
I don't know. We don't have the breathalyzer. I saw breathalyzer for sale in a TJ Maxx, and I was going to buy it, but it was like $30. And I said, you know,
no.
That's
the most expensive thing at TJ
Maxx. I know.
Here's the thing where you really know if you can drive home. You get to any bar where they have pole position. They don't have it anymore. But if you got the pole,
if you can make the pole,
even if you drank 15 beers, okay, you were the designated driver.
That is a good point.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
They often do have those driving games in bars.
The snowmobile or whatever.
Right, they should have those on the, you know, when the cop pulls you over, he's like, get in the back of the seat. Can you play this video game? Wow, you scored 2,800. Jesus, how'd you do that? Oh, I've had 15 beers, but I seem to be doing okay.
Anything?
They should have a game just where, like, you have to get by the cop. That's what you know, like, that's your...
Anyway. We got to wrap it up.
Hey,
Jim, anything to plug before we go? Farmer's Almanac TV this fall?
Farmer's Almanac TV this fall. You can see it. You know, you got to drive to Montana.
If a C-band satellite dish.
White, I want to jam with you.
Yeah,
okay. Awesome.
No, that's cool, Jim. Congratulations.
Thanks
Good
for coming in, Jim.
Thank you, man. Hey,
thanks
listen.
For the soupy stories.
Let's do this. Let's do this for... Let's do the 40th episode.
The 40th episode. All right.
I'm
back.
Then, on return.
Back.
I'm looking forward to the Garbage Picking Carpenter. I am.
The Garbage Picking Carpenter is going to be a big hit.
Yes.
We won't even be able to get you then. Well, you're going to be too big for our little show.
No. I think I will still be good. I mean, hey, you guys bought the beer? I came.
We didn't buy the beer, but that's beside the point.
By the way, folks, you want to read my movie reviews and interviews with celebrities, MetroTimes.com. I just switched papers.
MetroTimes.com.
Yes.
You can pick up the Metro
Times. And also Herb Magazine, which is HerbOnline.com.
Online.com. CoreyandJoelRadio.com. Email us at email at CoreyandJoelRadio.com. Vote for us, please. It really helps promote the show if you vote on PodcastAlley.com. Link there from our website. Thank you once again, Jim.
Thank you, Corey, and thank you, Joel.
We'll see you guys next time, all right?
Good night, everybody.